This is a session from the Renew Spiritual Leadership Conference at Lancaster Baptist Church in June of 2014.
Okay, while folks are still coming in, give me some feedback. Why are you here? What would you like to know
in this class?
Don't be shy. Philosophy of church music.
Scheduling out specials and prior to the summer.
Okay. Who else?
Over here. That's important.
Yes.
Right spirit music, just differentiating between good and bad church music, I guess.
Okay, good. Anyone else? Yes.
I mean, effectual leader as a song leader.
Okay, as a song leader. Okay. Let me tell you something about my sunglasses. I got years ago, 15, 20 years ago, I went to the eye doctor after I lost my eye, and he said, you need to break down and get a decent pair of sunglasses so that it cuts out the UV rays, protects your eye. I've only got one eye, in case you didn't know it. And so he said, it'll take a little money, you know. He told me where to go, so I went and got a pair of sunglasses. And they were, I don't know, maybe $50, $60, so more than I'd ever paid for sunglasses. About 3 months ago, I went to put these expensive sunglasses on, and they broke right there. So I went back to the place where I bought them, and I asked about them, and they said, you're in luck. Said, this place has done very well. I mean, this company has done very well. Their sunglasses are much, much nicer and much more expensive now, and the great thing is they've got a lifetime warranty, so just send them back. They'll send you a new pair. So a couple months ago, they sent me a new pair. This new pair had the price tag on them. These sunglasses were $249. So anyway, but the interesting thing was I wore them around every chance the next few days, and I just wanted everybody to notice my sunglasses. Well, you know, if they didn't say anything, I said, have you noticed my sunglasses? They're really nice, aren't they? For about a week, the most important thing in my life were sunglasses. Well, I'm exaggerating, but not a whole lot. What I'm saying is it is so easy to get things completely out of whack, and sunglasses become the most important thing in your life. You're pretty messed up. With music, before we pray here, what's the most important thing in our church music? What is it? What? Raise a hand so we can speak up.
Honoring Christ.
Honoring Christ. Excellent. Who else?
The message.
The message. Great. Who else?
The preaching.
The preaching. Great. The preaching. Most important thing in the music?
Pointing the way for the preaching.
Okay, pointing the way for the preaching. Okay. And also music can preach. Yeah. Right. Preparing the hearts for worship. Yeah. Okay. Now, it's interesting. Nobody has said the beauty of the music is the most important thing. Now, I believe the beauty of the music is important, but it's not the most important. And let's pray, and we'll jump in here, okay? Father, thank you that we can serve you. Thank you that we can love you. Thank you that you died for us, and I pray that you would make this session profitable and help it to exalt you in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was, I went to Israel once. I went to Israel twice and had friends that said, if you'll come and sing, we'll take you for free. And I said, free is good. That sounds great. So I went twice. I made the mistake. We were staying in Jerusalem on the Sabbath, and I made the mistake of going to I got on the elevator. I was about on the 15th floor, and so I got on the elevator. The doors opened. I walked on. And I pushed number 15, and it went to floor number 2 and opened. And shut. Took about 30 seconds, left it open. Then I pushed number 15, it goes to floor number 3, it opens and shuts. 15 goes to floor, opens and shuts. It did that all the way to the 15th floor. It took me 15 minutes to get to the 15th floor. I asked in the lobby what had gone wrong, and they said, well, you got on the Sabbath elevator. It's against the law to push a button because it's work on the Sabbath. And they had other elevators. But I found that I got kind of enamored with Jewish customs and all this, and so we did a bar mitzvah for our boys, where, you know, it was just fun, where a bat mitzvah for our girls, where we had them come of age and give their testimony, and all the men shared their testimonies and gave words of advice. But the more I got into Jewish customs, have you ever seen the Talmud? The Talmud is an Encyclopedia Britannica. And as I talked with Jewish Orthodox Jews, they said the most important thing in Jewish life is not the Bible, the Jewish Bible, which is the Old Testament, it's the Talmud. We study the Talmud. And so it gives you, and so it gives rabbinical teachings about how to practice the Sabbath. And the more I studied this, the more cumbersome it got. I mean, it was just law after law after law, and they didn't all match. You know, it was this rabbi thought this rabbi thought that. And then I go to, it's very refreshing. I was reading shortly after I was getting involved in all this. I was reading in Matthew 22, where they asked Jesus, what's the most important thing? And he says, love the Lord thy God. That's number one. That's the most important thing in our music, too. That every time I sing, every time I lead, that the motivation, it's not the expression, it's not the beauty of the music, it's that I'm saying, Lord, I love you. That's number one. And that doesn't happen by habit. It's something you've got to do every time you step up. Say, Lord, I love you. I love you. Number two is Christ gives for us there in Matthew 22 also, and that is to love people. That's where the beauty of the music comes in. Let me interject one more law right before that, and that is, husbands, love your wives. Because if you're married like I am, if you're loving your wife, it's a lot easier to love people. I read Oliver Wendell Holmes was a Supreme Court justice, and I read something that he wrote that really was a blessing to me. Said, men are like peaches. He said, they turn sweet for a little bit just before they start to decay. Shelley tells me she thinks I'm there. You have not. Okay. But all I'm saying is if you, this is an area we need to grow in all of our lives, and it makes a huge difference in how we deal with people. It really does. If every time I go home, I'm loving my wife and just, it's wonderful, and it is for me. It's much easier to go to church and love people. It just is. If that becomes the habit of your life, loving Christ and loving people, it's a wonderful blessing. Number three on your outline there, and we've got to fly because we only, yes, sir.
So is
that
number two then?
Yes, number two. No, number two, well, I left out the wife thing, so the main thing is to love God. The second main thing is to love people.
Okay?
Those are basically the two commandments listed in Matthew 22. Yeah, we're not going to grade these papers, by the way. Number three, I don't have time to park on a lot of these, but number three, it is important if you're doing the music that you remember the pastor is the boss. Now, I'm not talking about the pastor being a dictator, and if you're hearing a pastor and you're a pastor, certainly you need to deal with your people with love and consideration and kindness and understanding. But we do have to remember the pastor is the boss. You know, my wife is, we have a wonderful, wonderful relationship, and there are many areas where I say, you know, you make the call here, and there are areas where I make the call. But she does give me the privilege of making the call sometimes. No, I'm kidding. She, there are areas, all I'm saying is she follows me. She's a wonderful, wonderful wife, and I am the boss in my home. I don't use that as an opportunity to beat her down and beat her up. But we have a wonderful relationship. And what I'm saying, you do need to understand the pastor is the boss. I wish I could park there a little, but we don't have time. The most important vocal group in the church is whom? the congregation. And as when we're leading the music, if you're the music director like I am, you need to remember that. If you never give any thought to the music of the congregation, it's not good. It just is not good. Take out this little thing you were given when you, does anyone not have one? It says Rejoice Hymns on the cover. Somebody back here needs one. I want to just sing through right over here, right over there. I think she's the only one. Anybody else still need one? Oh, okay, we do have a number that need them. Do you have the other pack? You're just missing that? Okay. Let's take, number five says this, as a general rule, old folks like old music and young people like new music. Strive for balance. As a general rule, old folks like old music and young people like new music, strive for balance. If I do all new music with my congregation, my mom's in our congregation, and she comes up to me and said, we didn't do enough old songs today. Old people like old music. And they're part of our congregation. And one of these days, I'm going to be an old person. I'm 63 years old. Fortunately, my wife is 43, so she keeps me very young. But let's sing the first one, Bow the Knee. This is a new song. How many know this song? Okay. Sing along with me. And is it working? Okay. Here we go.
What a privilege to come into God's presence, just to linger with the one who set me free. As I live, my eyes can see his awesome glory. I remember who he is and bow the knee.
Bow the knee.
Crescendo. Nice. Let's work on this a little bit just to show you. We can skip down there to number 9 says, learn to talk with your hands. Learn to talk with your hands. And talk with your face. Talk with your body. Let's work on this one just a little bit. Watch up here. Hold your music up so you can watch me. We're going to work on this just a little bit on the expression, on making it come alive. Here we go. What a privilege. One, two, sing.
What a privilege to come into God's presence. Just
more.
With the one who set me free.
More.
As I live, my eyes have seen his awesome glory. I remember who he is and bow the knee.
Crescendo, here we go.
Bow the knee.
More, more, more. Crescendo.
On his throne, see him high, lifted up and bow the knee.
Nice. Start it soft. Crescendo. Beautiful. Now notice what I'm doing. My face, with my hands, with my body. And it's fun. I love it. You sound great. But this is all working, you know. And you need to be doing that when you're working with your congregation even. enjoying it and smiling and making this, your hands are talking, your face is talking, your body is moving, and it works. Let's do it once more. It's coming, getting better each time. Here we go. What a privilege. Here we go. One, two, three.
What a privilege to come into God's presence, just to linger with the one who set me free.
Now, I want you to make sense of what you're saying. I want it to, what a privilege to come, just to linger with the one. Move a little bit with your, I'm not talking about dancing, but I am talking about moving. When a choir sings and when the congregation sings, often it goes from this to, what a privilege, and it shouldn't be that way. What a privilege to come into God's presence. It should be real, just like I'm talking to you. You don't freeze up when you start to sing. Okay?
Here, sing it like you speak it.
Yeah, sing it like you speak it. She's taught me everything I know, so. Here we go. What a privilege. Here we go. Move around. Think about it. What a privilege. Make it mean something. Music up. Here we go. One, two, go.
What a privilege to come into God's presence, just to linger with the one who set me free.
What? What?
As I lift my eyes and sing his awesome glory, I remember who he is and bow the knee.
It makes it much stronger if bow the knee. Bow the knee. Make the bow long and the very short. Bow the knee is much better than bow the knee. It drives it much better. Here we go, right on the chorus. Bow the knee. Here we go. One, two, go.
Bow the knee.
More.
Bow the knee.
Yeah, the crescendo. Make that line. Bow the knee, bow the knee. Okay, here we go. One, two, go.
Bow the knee.
Here we go. Good, good.
God alone on his throne. See him high and lifted up and bow the knee.
Now, notice the contrast there. See him high and lifted up and bow the knee. So there's a reason for the loud and the soft. Okay, see him high and lifted up. One, two, go. See him
high and lifted up and bow the knee.
Start this soft and crescendo.
More,
more. Beautiful, beautiful. But make that happen. Make it real in your own life and then pull it out of your people, whether it's congregation or choir or whatever. Okay, let's keep going here. Invest time, work, and prayer in preparing the order of service. Of course, take your cue from your pastor here, but in our church, pastor is committed to me making the order of service. So, we usually have it done on Tuesday or Wednesday, and then the staff goes, and then we go over it. But there's logic, and it helps. It really does help. Too often I'm in churches where there's no, and you do have to take your cue from your pastor here. But if your pastor, get with him and see what he wants to do. But too often the service is always the same, and many churches I go to don't have any order of service because it just rote and everybody knows what's coming. And I think it helps to tweak it and play with it and do some interesting things with it just to keep people's interest. Build the choir with old favorites as well as a regular stream of exciting new favorites. I get in some churches where the choir hasn't seen a new piece of music in 10 years. Don't do that. Don't do that. Also, the next one is retire songs that aren't a blessing. Retire songs in the choir repertoire that are not winners. Don't just sing a song because it's in the file, nobody likes it, but we bought it, and so we're going to sing it. don't do that. Don't do that. Continue to use your hymnal. Continue to keep people reading music. I mean, we have PowerPoint at our church, but we also use our hymnal, and it's important to keep people. The nice thing about the PowerPoint is you can teach them some new songs. You know, you can teach them some new songs. And so that works, but continue to use the hymnal, continue to keep people reading music, because that's, and singing parts, that is I think it's important. Okay, learn to talk with your hands, we did that. Invest time and prayer in preparing for choir rehearsal. Choir rehearsal, I'm going to have to move quickly through some of these because our time is limited. Don't forget the kids. Get your kids singing. Several years ago, my pastor, Pastor Altizer, before he retired, came to me and said, I mean, he was probably 45 years ago, and he said, I want to learn to sing. And so he's 45 years old, and so we got together. And the problem was he'd grown up not singing. And I found that if kids sing, they grow up, you know, and they can carry a tune. So teach your kids to sing. A, have fun. If you're working with kids, have fun, okay? Come on, kids, let's sing Wiggle Worm, you know, get some Pat songs, sing some fun songs, sing some serious songs, but if you're not inclined to have fun, get somebody working with them that is inclined to have fun. You know, don't get somebody working with your kids that just can't do it. Don't do that. The personality and the fun side is important. It really is. Teach them to sing on pitch. Teach them to sing on pitch. The last thing is to teach them to love music, or teach them to love Jesus with their singing, what we've already spoken about. Okay, let me go on to the next one here. Make structure your friend, particularly with the choir. We have a dress code in our choir so that everybody knows what's expected. And then we have an attendance requirement, too, with our choir. So I'm going to just move quickly through those. So A, dress code. B, attendance requirement. 13, meet with your pastor and decide where to draw the line. Where to draw the line with music standards. It's interesting because in traveling to churches, almost no churches, no two churches, every church has a different philosophy, or not different philosophy, but they draw the line in different churches. I get in some churches where if a gospel quartet got up and sang I'll Fly Away, I mean, it would just be the end of the world. It would be heresy. I get in some churches where if the choir sang the Hallelujah Chorus, it would be heresy because it's just too formal, too liturgical. We don't do that here. You know, and all I'm saying is churches are different, and make allowances for that. You know, make allowances. You don't, just because a church does music a little differently than you do it, doesn't mean you have to, you know, doesn't mean they've departed from the faith. But there is a line. There really is. And you may draw your line a little differently than I draw mine, and I don't have a problem with that. But I do have a problem if you do not draw the line at all. And without taking a lot of time with it, the closer it gets to rock music, the closer it gets to the world, and just for the sake of time, the closer it gets to sounding like a rock band, the bigger the problem is. At some point, draw the line. And get with your pastor, define where the line is, and then talk with your special music people. You don't want somebody getting up, you don't want to draw the line after the person says, after the person sings the music on Sunday morning. Say, well, that was over our line. You need to know about it ahead of time. And it also helps to have a couple weeks notice with the person, because it's not good to find out the morning of that they're doing a song that they can't sing. You know, so it's good to have some kind of check in there where they're, Shelley is really the one in our church, and of course she gets me involved if she has to, but I'd rather not be involved, but because this, it gets kind of sticky. But if you the more you can handle this ahead of time, the easier it is. You don't want to handle it in crisis mode just before it happens. You want to meet with the people that are special music, let them know where the line is, let them know that you may draw your line a little differently than me, but this is where the line is and this is what we're going to do. Do it sweetly, kindly, but ahead of time. And it really can solve a lot of problems. It really can. Remember, the most important person in church music is Jesus. It's not you. It really isn't. And just like Pastor Chappell was talking about the last session, in music, there are so many opportunities to get feelings hurt. You know, I've got people in our church that want to sing solos, and nobody in the church wants to sing solos. We got one person that just loves to sing solos, and she does sing occasionally, and we let her sing occasionally. But there are some people that want to sing, and we don't let them sing just because they're too bad. But they love it. They love it, but they're just, you know, everybody just, it doesn't work. And people can really, really get mad. People can really, really get mad. And every now and then I get a letter telling me, you know, somebody really, really hates my guts. But it's okay. It's okay. It really is. Be sweet. Be kind. Remember, God has put you in that position, and just honor Him. When we first started doing music, the idea of people getting mad at you was something that I was not counting on. It was something I was not, you know, I was a kid, I was not aware of it. I remember I did on the second patch recording, it was called Patch Goes to Space, and our photographer said, you know what would be cool for this, or we got the idea, let's do something and kind of make Patch look like he's flying through space, which was an interesting, you know, we were limited with technology back then, back in the 1800s, and let me just tell you this, I rode a bike coast to coast when I was in high school. And I was talking with a college student a while back. One of the neat things about it is that we got to stop and see the president. We spent about 15 minutes in the Rose Garden with the president. This high schooler saying, really cool, that's really neat. What president was it? And I said, well, it was Abraham Lincoln. And he believed me. He believed me. That was a shock. But anyway, where were we? Okay, on Patch Goes to Space. They said, well, let's make you look like you're flying through space. And back then, it wasn't a cartoon patch, it was me. And so we went out to this pile of bricks. Our church was building a new building, and so it was about midnight. We went out to a pile of bricks where it was about 8 or 10 feet in the air, and it's about midnight. And he said, we want you to jump off the pile of bricks in this outfit we'd run and look like you're flying and then try to hit the ground, not break anything. So it may have been 5 or 6 or 7 feet tall. I don't remember, but I remember it was an interesting exercise. But we came out with that cover, and it was Patch flying through space. And I began, and I got a couple people that wrote to me and said, well, you looked like you were trying to be a rock star. And they started passing around all this stuff that I just wasn't prepared for. And it happens. It does. But keep sweet. Trust the Lord. Remember, Jesus is the one we're working for. And keep sweet. Pray with me before we go. Father, thank you for letting us serve you with music. And we pray that you would help us, Lord, to seek your face, to be a blessing to our people, and to honor you with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.